Okay.
As we come today, I need you to step back 2 weeks for those that were here 2 weeks ago. For the rest of you, you can't go back and read right now, but later you can go back and read chapter 9. But if you're like me, a lot has happened in 2 weeks, so we got to process a little bit going back to chapter 9. Remember that I actually had the opportunity to share with you, this is when Jesus healed the man that was born blind. And the man went to the pool and washed the mud off his eyes, and then he went to his friends, and they're like, is this the man that was born blind? You know, how's he seeing now? They knew him as a beggar. And they took him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees immediately said, but wait a minute, it's a Sabbath. You can't heal on the Sabbath. And they rose up angry at Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. And then with the conversation between the man born blind and the Pharisees and how he stood up against them and talked about the good that Jesus had done. And then finally we see Jesus talking to this man, bringing him into full faith. And the schism that has Jesus had caused, even among the Pharisees, that some were like, he is a sinner. And others were like, how can a man like this do these deeds and be a sinner? So realize as we come to this passage, we're coming to that point. It's a continuation of that. So standing there as Jesus begins to talk to them, the Pharisees are there, the disciples are there, the man that had been born blind and was healed may have been there, his parents been there, and even the crowd that was around them were there. So all these people who had just witnessed what the Pharisees had done to this man who was healed, and the boldness of this man as he defended what had happened, and then Jesus as he shared, all were still there. So as we pick up in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, we're going to read down through verse 21, kind of put that all in context. Jesus says here, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in it by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to him. To them, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares for nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he is a demon. He is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, I pray that your Spirit might speak through us, to us, through me. Lord, use this time by your hand. Guide my thoughts and what I share. And Lord, may be the truth of your word. Remove error from my mind, and what is spoken, Lord, might be your truth from your word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So as we see this, we're seeing that Jesus is in talking to this crowd who have already witnessed the miracle taking place. And he begins and opens up here, says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber." He begins to talk about shepherding. Now, shepherding is something very familiar to the people of Israel. There were shepherds in the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. David himself was a shepherd boy. So this lifestyle was one that was very common in this time. Growing was not easily done there, and it was the geography of the land was very accommodating for shepherding. So these, all that were there were very familiar with what a shepherd's life was. It was hard. It was outside against the heat and the cold, and they had to work. And sheep were hard to work with. Tom shared with me right before we came into service that the pressure is that Ann knows sheep. She had time with them, so whatever I say, we'll double check and make sure I'm correct with that. But you know, the reality is that sheep were not easy to deal with. You know, we think of sheep. I don't know about you. I don't ever count sheep. Usually I have to count chores or something to put myself to sleep at night. But when we think about the sheep, we think about these white, fluffy, little, cute animals, you know, to go to sleep in. And if you ever see a sheep at a farm or at a zoo or something, they just look so cute. But the reality is, if you get close to them, they're pretty ugly. They have thorns in their wool. They waller in the mud, and they're hard. They're not very smart. I watched this one video this week as I was preparing for this, and it showed these men pulling a sheep out of a crevice. And they had a rope around its neck, and they pulled the sheep up, and it got up on the shore, and it immediately jumped back in the ditch. You know, and the thing about Scripture is it describes whom is sheep. Us. You know, so when I began to talk this negatively about sheep, I thought, wait a minute. I'm pointing at the sheep, and there's three fingers pointing right back at me. Aren't we the same way? You know, God delivers us from something, and we jump right back in the middle of it again. And on the outside, you know, we all got up this morning and we got ready to come to church. So the outside, we're looking good. But, you know, in reality is we get close to each other and we realize we still have some blemishes that we're struggling with. So we see the parallel that Scripture has between the sheep and us as Christians, us as followers of Christ. Sheep tend to wander. You know, many areas had crevices and things that they would wander into. They would get lost. You know, the shepherd going out with the 99 and finding the one. All of these elements are there. So as we describe the sheep in looking at ourselves, we draw those parallels. The people of Israel not only understood the reality of shepherding and caring for the flock, but they knew from the Old Testament that God himself was presented as a shepherd. Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 77, verse 20, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Psalm 79, verse 13, "Then we are your people, and the sheep of your pastures will praise you forever." Psalms 80, verse 1, "Hear us, shepherd of Israel." All these descriptions were in the Pharisees' minds and in the people's minds as Jesus began to talk, understanding what a shepherd was and how it related, even in the Old Testament, of looking at God and his care for the people. I want to read, you know, we sang this just a minute ago, but I want to read Psalms 23 from the ESV. And as I'm reading this, I want you to get this ingrained in your mind as we're talking about God as a shepherd and Jesus as a great shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So go into the Scripture. Jesus describes himself in verse 11 as the good shepherd. The good shepherd. In the light of Jesus talking here, and this idea of a good shepherd, the Jews of their time, specifically the Pharisees, had in their mind who was the great shepherd. Who do you think the great shepherd would have been in their eyes looking back at the Old Testament? David. David was the great shepherd. And for them, as they thought about who was an excellent shepherd, David would have been. You remember, he defended the sheep against the bear and the lion, and he was the one that was going out and protecting them. So historically, they would see that. But you remember that Jesus, back in verse 5, compared himself to others. In verse 5, he was greater than Moses. I'm sure they didn't respond well to that. They didn't, as Tom shared with us. In chapter 8, he said he was greater than Abraham. And here he says, Jesus is the good shepherd. Again, red flags go off in the minds of the Pharisees as Jesus is sharing here. I am the good shepherd. And as they began to think this, they were not inclined to hear him easily. And when it comes to the New Testament, there are a number of places where Jesus is referred to as that one good shepherd. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. So as we go into this, kind of relate in your minds this mindset of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, being our shepherd, and how in our day-to-day life we depend on Him and we come back to Him. Think of yourself as a sheep, how stubborn we are at times. How God delivers us from sin. How God reveals to us our failures. And He always takes us back. He's always pulling us back in. So as we come to this, we see that Jesus, in the relationship He describes in verses 1 to 6, between the good shepherd and the sheep. He opens up in verse 1 talking about those who enter the sheepfold any other way but the door are thieves and robbers. They enter to attack and to hurt the sheep. They don't come through the gate. Now, as we think about this description, there are two types of pens they're talking about for the flock to be in. In the cities or in the towns, there would be a structured pen, like we would think of, with a gate, a real gate there. And many different shepherds would bring their flocks, and they would put those in there. And they'd have one hireling that stood there at the gate to guard the sheep and to let the shepherds in. So the description here is he would know who the shepherds were, and when the shepherd would come, he'd open the gate and they would come in. But these others would come in and they would climb the fence and they would get in to harm the sheep. The other type of pen that it's going to talk about a little later on is when they were out in the wilderness and they would form a temporary pen. Maybe they'd pull branches together and form an area for the sheep to be in so they would not wander. Or maybe in the crevice of a mountain or whatever, they'd have an area where they would have and narrow it down, and the shepherd would actually lay down and be the gate before the sheep could come out or anyone else could come in. But here in this passage, I think we're talking about this first part where there's an actual physical pen there with a hireling guarding that. And as the shepherd would come, they would know the shepherds and they would allow them into the gate, but no one else. And there would be multiple flock there. So the Pharisees are listening to this and the people are listening to this. And red flags are going off in their minds. Because all of a sudden, who is Jesus talking about here? Because they were supposedly the shepherds of the people, but Jesus isn't pointing them to that. And He is really pointing that they are not doing what they're called to. And in their minds, they knew the Scripture. They went back to Ezekiel chapter 34, and where it talks about the shepherds of Israel. And I'm not going to read all of this, but I'll pull some pieces out. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesies against the shepherds of Israel. Prophecies and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat and you clothe yourselves with wool and you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. And strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with the force and harshness you have ruled them. And then skipping down to verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there is no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds had fed themselves. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. Now, imagine yourself as the Pharisees here, as Jesus begins to correlate the shepherds and the thieves and the robbers. Again, Jesus had a way of bringing those bristles up on those Pharisees. I can imagine the disciples are sitting there. Remember, he healed on the Sabbath, and they were like, this isn't going to be good. You know, remember when he was in the boat and they were leaving Jesus was doing things, maybe not the way they would do them. And here he's getting the Pharisees in this shape again. So Jesus, as he's speaking, these Pharisees are beginning to think through where he's going with this. And then in verse 2, Jesus says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The true shepherd is recognized and brought into the fold by the gatekeeper, by the hireling. And he's welcome to come into that. He cares for the sheep. He is sincere and known by the gatekeeper, the hireling. And he is brought in the correct way. The sheep know his voice. As I studied a little bit about shepherding, every shepherd had a unique call that their sheep would know. And he could literally walk into a pen and present that call to the sheep, and his sheep would follow him out of the pen. And they would know his voice, and they were comfortable with doing that. Imagine ourselves as sheep in the midst of things, and all of a sudden, that shepherd walks in and he begins to speak, and you just naturally fall right in line with that. The reality for us, our need to know the master's voice, our need to be able to recognize the teachings of Scripture as he shares, as Brother Tom shares with us, as I share with you at times, it's important that you not listen to us without a critical ear. What we say must follow Scripture. And I dare to say, I think Tom would agree, if what we say doesn't follow Scripture, shut us off. Don't listen to us. Because we have pledged as pastors to share God's Word truthfully and honestly. And as sheep, it is important for us to be keen to hear the Master's voice and to follow that in a very real way. So as he begins to speak to them, And they hear his voice and they follow him. And the shepherd calls and they knew their shepherd. He knew the name of the sheep that were there and would bring them out. He had a close relationship with them. The picture of the shepherd is as he's bringing the sheep in, it says that he would have a staff. And as one would enter, he would inspect the sheep. And he would look at the briars, and sheep are very susceptible to cuts and things in the field. And he would put ointment on them, as he talks about anointing them with oil. He would care for them. Each one would go in. So he knew them intimately as they came in there. You know, the reality is, you know, we all know our pets, right? We got a little dog, and I can come in the house, and Buddy will get excited. But if Karen comes into the house, Buddy goes berserk, right? Karen's got a cat. I don't relate to cats real well. They know me, and I know them, and we just kind of endure one another. My son has the sister of the cat that we have. That cat is as close to a dog as anything I've ever seen. I mean, you get on the phone with Bradley, and it talks to you, or it talks to Bradley because it's jealous of us talking to him, and he can call it. It'll play fetch. I've never seen a cat play fetch, but there's a real close relationship there. And we have names, and our animals know our names, know their names. And the reality here, this closeness of the shepherd to the sheep is one that he knew them in a very real way. The confidence of the sheep to follow him. It's important to realize, it says, as he spoke and gave the utterance of the call, and the shepherd and the sheep would respond to that, He didn't get behind them and drive them. What happened? What does it say there? He followed them. He led them out of the pen. And they would go before, he would go before them, and they would follow him through. So this message of the personal relationship of the shepherd with the sheep, I think very well corresponds to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our desire to know Him, to know His voice, to respond to the Word of Scripture, to respond to the Holy Spirit speaking that Word in us and being led by Him and being open to that. But then we see in the end of this section, verse 6, it says, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, being the Pharisees and the crowds, they did not understand what He was saying to them. This really confused me as I first read it, and I looked and looked and looked, and different people had different ideas of it. But I think as I got back and looked in some of the commentaries about the terms that's used here, the similar term here that's used, that's translated, they did not understand, is they did not accept. They were saying something to the Pharisees, and they immediately correlated that they were the thieves and the robbers. They were the ones entering the wrong way. So they shut it down. They weren't willing to listen to what He was saying because it went against what they wanted. They had their own agenda. And as Jesus was sharing, they knew that what He was speaking negatively was about them. So it says here that they were not willing to listen to that. So, interesting here in verse 7, we see Jesus giving another try. It actually opens up here. Jesus again said to them. He comes at it from a different way, a different type of metaphor. And realize that in the Gospel of John, there aren't parables, but this is probably as close to a parable as there is in the Gospel of John. But He says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you," verse 7, "I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." Jesus again says here, "I am the door," those powerful "I am" statements. And He carries them down this path, trying to share with the Pharisees and to share with the people for them to understand. And the idea in verses here of 9 and 10, they enter through the door into life. "I am the door." The shepherd, remember, laying out in the wilderness, and He is the gate guarding the sheep. And they have to pass by Him, and He cares for them and protects them. And He's laying at that entrance, and they are entering in through Him to get into the fold. "You must pass through by entering into Me." Depending on this in their lives, the life of the shepherd caring for the sheep. We see in this, He talks about, "If anyone enters by Me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." It's not talking about bringing them into the fold and having them under protection all the time. It's not really even talking about entering into the building of the church because we go in and out of there. He's saying as they come in, they enter under My protection. And as they go out and they seek pastures and they go out in various places, the shepherd is with them. Isn't it a great promise to know no matter where we go, Jesus Christ's presence, the Holy Spirit, is with us? Have you ever been in a place where you're really nervous about what was going on around you? I think about one of my first trips out of the country. I went to Moscow, and we took the train from Moscow to Belarus. And we were on the train that night. We got on the train about 6 o'clock. We'd done a walking tour of Moscow in January, which I don't recommend. And we got on the train, and I'm literally surrounded by luggage in my little berth. And when we got on the train, there were about 15 or 20 men having a drunken party that we had to weave our way through. And as I'm laying there in the bed, I'm praying, "Lord, You brought me here. I don't know what You're going to do with me here, but please protect me." And then I'd raise up and look as we came into a station, and there'd be armed guards with machine guns all along the station. Not very settling for a Georgia boy, you know, in that kind of environment. But I knew God's presence was with me. For us in our day-to-day life, knowing the Holy Spirit's presence, knowing that God is guiding and directing us, put yourself in the place of these sheep as they left the fold. They weren't leaving alone. They were leaving with the shepherd, caring for them constantly. He was the life giver to them. In different translations of scripture here, you know, it talks about going into green pastures in different ways. And one uses abundant life. As I was reading, a lot of people grabbed hold of that with this whole concept of the abundant life and the theology of our day and time of progressive living. But it doesn't say here that the sheep were going out and they were never going to have another problem. Didn't say there wouldn't be another crevice that they would fall into, or there wouldn't be another struggle they had to face. But the reality was they didn't face it alone. God was with them. The shepherd was with them in a very real sense. So we see this correlation between Jesus being the door of to the sheep and the Pharisees, again, entering as thieves and robbers. And then we're down to verse 11. We see another allegory here of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The sheep had very little defensive weapons. They didn't have jagged teeth. They didn't have claws. And the shepherd was their defense. The willingness of the shepherd to protect them. The stories of David warding off the bears and those things that would attack the sheep. He would stand up against them. The good shepherd here says lays down his life for the sheep. Beautiful prophetic message here of the coming of what Jesus is going to do. And we're going to talk about that a little later on as he reveals more. But his willingness to face danger, to stand up for the sheep and sacrifice himself. As opposed to verse 12 here, when it talks about the hireling. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. The power of this statement to the Pharisees, Jesus is saying, you do not care for the people. We go back and look at what they did with the man that was born blind. Here is a man who had been blind since birth, and all of a sudden he sees. And he comes to them and shares what happened in this miracle. And what's their first response? This was done on the Sabbath. It's wrong. It shouldn't be done this way. And totally discounted the fact this man had received this great blessing of being given his sight after never seeing before. But he shares with them this powerful message for them. For them in looking at this. The good shepherd. As he shares with them. Willing to face that danger. The hired man says, as the wolves come, they run away. Why? Because they didn't care for the sheep. They had their own agenda. The lack of caring for the man born blind, the lack of caring for the sheep, the parallel here. And then all the sheep here in verses 14 to 16 reveals a powerful message. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Then verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus again reveals his knowledge of the sheep, of his fold, and his relationship to them. He says, like I know my sheep, the Father and I know each other. He comes from the Father. All that he does is related directly from him. This deep knowledge of Jesus, knowing those that are truly of his fold, is a comforting thing. As we come to Jesus in those dark moments, as we come to Jesus in praise and worship, it's not that he comes and says, who are they? He is responding to them because we are his children. We are the sheep of his pasture. And then he talks about the other flock that he has. Now, for those of us that are not from Jewish background, we should take great comfort in this because that's us. Jesus, I have other flock. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. And I'm going to bring them in. And bringing them in, there's going to be one fold and one shepherd. I am the good shepherd. That's a great comfort for us. It's great for us to hear that. Then he continues on in verses 17 and 18. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one can take it from me, but I lay it down from my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. Remember, these Pharisees just hours before had taken up rocks to kill him. They had already begun to plot of how to get rid of Jesus. And here he says, I have the authority to lay down my life. I have the authority to take it up again. That really blew their mind. This concept of one who says, I lay down my life and then I take it up again. That's a great prophecy of his death and resurrection on the Calvary. They couldn't understand that. Us looking back, we can see that in the scripture and understand as Jesus is sharing this. In the relationship Jesus had here, he defines what he is doing as the good shepherd, what he is doing as the coming Messiah, is in full obedience to the Father. We see that correlation of the Trinity coming to be so strong here, of the Father and the Son, and going forward, all I do from him. Jesus reveals the unity of the Father and the Son, giving my life for those sheep, giving myself for us who've died, his authority to lay down and to take up. So we see then, it steps into the last section here, verses 19 and 20. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he is a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? If you go back to the end of chapter 9, we see the same division among the Pharisees. Those that were saying, he is a sinner, don't listen to him. And those who said, how can a man not of God do this miracle? And here at the end of chapter 10, we see the same division. The division of those who are saying, he's possessed by a demon, he's insane, don't listen to him. Hearing what Jesus is saying, but then others are saying, Wait a minute, these are not words of one who is possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? We're seeing a division among the Pharisees, and there were those in the Pharisees who accepted Christ. There were those in the crowds that were beginning to see him as Messiah. Jesus was sent to bring that division, and he was the way to the Father. The way to the Father. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The call for us with his voice to recognize that as the Master's voice. For those who receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, at a point as you were hearing the gospel call, the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and you heard the Master's voice and you surrendered yourself and accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you have not come to that point, listen to that voice. Listen to the call of the Holy Spirit upon your heart. As he speaks to you, as the Holy Spirit speaks, the Master's voice is real. And he's calling for you to become part of the fold, to follow him. And then he leads us in our lives. For those of us who follow Jesus Christ, the reality that he is there directing our paths. As we leave church and we go out into the world, we're not going out alone. The shepherd is with us. As we face the challenges of life, we depend upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of his word. He is there to direct our paths. And then finally, that Jesus has laid down his life for us to cover the multitude of our sins and receiving forgiveness. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the power of knowing him as Lord and Savior. It's a powerful thing. He cares, loves, protects, and guides us daily. And we rest in those arms. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, I pray that your Spirit might speak to us. Lord, in this passage of John, as he shares, Lord, as Jesus confronts the Pharisees and the crowd that's there, his disciples listen. Lord, he reveals himself of being the good shepherd who loves and cares for the sheep. As we come here today, Lord, I pray that your Spirit might speak to us. Lord, guide and direct our thoughts, that we may be attentive to the Master's voice, to the Good Shepherd speaking to us, guiding and direct us, that we might be attentive to know His voice, to know the leading in our lives daily. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they are not able to claim Him as their shepherd, Lord, that they would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and might respond to that and give themselves to Him. Lord, we totally depend upon You to lead and guide us, and we rest in that in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand with me and let's sing, He Leadeth Me. If God is speaking to you, if you do not know Jesus Christ, I encourage you to speak to someone that we would respond to them in love. Okay?